Today I'm going to be preaching out of John chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles with you, open your Bibles up to John chapter 6. Today we're going to be looking at verses 35 through 40. John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40. The title of today's sermon is Something to Think About. Something to Think About. So hopefully you didn't just come here to sit down and relax today. I hope you're here to really think. So turn your thinking caps on, get them all wound up. Today is not the day to relax, it's the day to think. Praise the Lord for God giving us minds and giving us the abilities to hear His Word. Today we're going to be studying John chapter 6, verse 35 through 40. Here's what God's Word says. It says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before your throne of grace today, God, to thank you for how great you are, Lord. God, I know there's people that are going through difficult times. I know there's health things that are going on, God, but there are great things that are going on too, Lord. God, I praise you for the way that you healed Sister Alexis, Lord, and God, that the surgery went well. What a praise that is, Lord. God, I praise you for the things that you are doing in our church, the way you're moving in people's lives, Lord, and really setting people's souls on fire for you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just continue your work in our heart. Lord, as we get ready to prepare for Christmas and we reminisce about what Thanksgiving was about, Lord, help us to remember that amidst all the shopping and Christmas light decorations and all those things that we're doing, God, the most important thing is to prepare to remember what you've done for us, Lord. God, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for forgiving us, for your mercy and grace and long-suffering. God, we pray that you would just use us, Lord, to be lights in this world, God. I pray, Lord, that this sermon, Lord, you would use it to bless someone. Lord, to help someone grow nearer to you, Lord. Or to open up someone's eyes who hasn't seen you before for the first time. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you do for us. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So John chapter 6, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I love it. It's great. Because in John chapter 6, if you look at the beginning, you see miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, who doesn't like miracles, right? It's a miracle that Dave Whittington is married to Becky, amen? So praise the Lord, he likes miracles, right? So miracles are great. And so in this book, you see in Jesus' ministry, there's miracles that are taking place. It's awesome. So in the beginning of the book, you see how Jesus takes this little boy's lunch. We all know the story about the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he feeds over 5,000 people. I love that story. Then he walks on the water to the disciples to meet them over on the other side of Capernaum. So he walks over on the water to the lake. How awesome is that? Think of how much easier fishing would be if you could do that. I'm serious. Like, boat companies would go out of business because you just walk out wherever you want on the ocean, cast in your thing, and go ahead and fish. I mean, life would be neat. So that was an awesome miracle. And then Jesus starts talking to the people on the other side when he gets over there about this deep spiritual truth about the bread of life. These people are wondering, like, what is he talking about? Bread of life. So with those things in mind, listen again to these words. It says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you don't believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, and raise them up at the last day. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up the last day. Everyone, it says everyone, not just some people, not just short and fat people like me, everyone. He wants to bring to eternal life. That's exciting. And so you wonder a lot. I wondered a lot. You know, what is God's will for my life? But have you ever wondered, like, what was God's will for Jesus's life? And here in verse 40, it says, for my Father's will, meaning God's will, is that everyone who looks to the Son, that's Jesus, and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. What an amazing blessing that is. That's what God's will was for Jesus' life. Are you thankful for that today?
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for that too. The sermon came about in an interesting way this week. I was out watching a movie with my family on Monday night. My wife and I and Josh were watching a movie. And then the rolling credits came. And then all of a sudden this question popped into my head. I'm like, what does that have to do with the movie? But so I started taking notes, writing down all these things that were flooding my mind into my iPhone. And that's what came up with the sermon today. So this message is not for me. This is a message that God gave me at the strangest of times. But I'm thankful for it, and I want to share it with you. Today I want to address two different groups of people in the church. I want to address the people that are believers, that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I also want to address the people that haven't yet accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want to talk to you about two different things because God gave me two different questions to address the people. And so I want to use those questions today. Have you ever heard a question that was so hard to answer? I mean, a question that was so hard to answer, you just didn't know what to say. Have you ever heard a question like that? So hard to answer, you just didn't know what to say. Or maybe you heard a question that was so easy to answer that you just couldn't come up with one answer. Like if I said, Darren, why do you love Leslie? I mean, there's so many things that just flooded into his mind that he can't even come up with one single answer. You're supposed to scoot closer to it right now. There you go. There you go. Marriage counseling after service. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, but seriously, I mean, there are some questions that are so hard that you don't have an answer to. And then there's other questions that are so easy, you have so many answers, it's hard to pick just one answer. Well, today I'm not talking about a hard question like a math question. I'm not talking about an easy question like a yes and no answer that you can shake that little black ball and bam, it gives you the answer and says, you know, outlook not so likely or whatever. I want to ask you a thought-provoking question. Something to really get those gears turning. Something to get those gears turning in your mind today. And so this thought-provoking question is a question that really has no right or wrong answer. But it's so personal that if you will open up your soul to think about this question I'm going to ask you, it might even bring tears to your eyes. It might make you think for the first time about something you haven't asked yourself in a long time. The question I have for you today is, for all the people who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, this is the question that came to me while I was watching those credits in the movie theater. The question is, why do you want a relationship with God? Think about that. Why do you want a relationship with God? Listen as God speaks to your heart. Is it for what you can give him? Is it for what God can give you? Maybe you want a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, today because you've seen someone else's relationship. Maybe it's because you always wanted to be loved unconditionally, and that's why you want a relationship with God. You see, I can't tell you why you want a relationship with God. Only you can answer that question. Maybe you were raised in a way that that's just what you were supposed to do, so you kind of sought after it. But now you're an adult. And so I ask you the question again. Why do you want a relationship with God? I've been thinking about that all week long. It's one of those questions that's so hard to answer. I just don't know how to answer it. But at the same time, it's so easy that there's so many answers that I don't really know what the right answer is either. So as I racked my brain this week, I came up with the reason that Alan Barris Jr., the reason I want a relationship with God, is because he's the author of all good. He's the author of all good. Because God loves me for better or for worse. Whether I let him down, whether I do something that brings him glory, he still loves me. That doesn't change. I want a relationship with God because he created me. And without him, I wouldn't even be here today. And I guess the most important reason of why I want a relationship with God is because he was a good person. And I want to be just like him. I want when people see me to see Christ. Not Alan, but I want them to see Christ. That's why I want a relationship with God. But what about you? Why do you want a relationship with Him? Think about it. Ask yourself it over and over again. Why do I, George, want a relationship with God? Why do I, Jordan, want a relationship with God? You know, why do I, Deborah, want a relationship with God? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to think about that. Not just today, maybe the whole week, but why do you want a relationship with God? Now, as you're thinking, I want to address the rest of the congregation. God didn't just give me a message for the people that have accepted Jesus, but He gave me a question for those that don't know Jesus yet. The tough question the Lord has for you if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today is, what's holding you back from making that decision to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? I mean, what's holding you back? Is Jesus going to have to blind you like He did to Paul on the road to Damascus? Is He going to have to shine some light down on you and say, hey, this is me, God, stop persecuting me? The Bible says, if you are either for me or you're against me. Now, which one is it? Why don't you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Think about that. What's stopping you from doing that? Jesus loves you. He wants you to know that you're His child and He cares about you. If you're waiting for a sign, I'm it. This is the sign. This is Jesus telling you He loves you. Now, I know you've heard this over and over again all your life if you've been in church. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. People, if you don't get anything else out of the sermon, listen to this. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. He wants to walk with you every day. He wants to help you with your struggles. He wants to be your best friend. Why don't you want to become His friend? I remember as a kid in school, I would go on the playground. Maybe Shannon would introduce himself to me. He'd be like, hi, my name is Shannon. Cool, I'm Alan. Nice to meet you, buddy. And we'd be best friends. I might never see him again, but I'd go home and tell him, I met my best friend Shannon. He was awesome. I may never see him again, but I met him once, so he was my best friend. So what's causing us to not want to make Jesus our best friend? I mean, think about that. You see, it's not enough for you just to say, well, I go to church. That's good, but that's not going to get you to heaven. It's not enough to say, I believe. It's not enough either. You see, because the scripture says in James 2:19, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. And that's good. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. What this is saying, that it's not enough to have faith or even believe that there is one God. The demons believe that. They're not going to heaven. So that's not enough. The only way to become a child of God is to have a relationship with Him. If you want Jesus to walk with you, if you want Him to help you with your problems, if you want Him to never leave you nor forsake you, if you want to have eternal life, going to church isn't going to give you that. Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that is where it's at. So I ask you again, why don't you want to make Jesus your best friend? What's holding you back? Don't you want eternal life? Don't you want a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Yeah. Are you scared? Are you worried about, because once I give my life to Christ, once I say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, you don't know what's going to happen. Are you worried about that? Is that why you're not doing it? Maybe you're worried, what are my friends, what are my family going to think if I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior? You see, folks, those aren't good reasons. They're not good reasons. You got to search your heart today. Maybe you think, well, I would love to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but you know what? I'm not worthy. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a sinner. And I know you're going to say, you're a sinner, saved by grace, whatever. But you don't know what I've done. I'm a bad person. I'm still a bad person. Doesn't matter. He created you in His own image. He loves you more than anything else He created. And you know what He wants? Just to be your friend. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's what He wants. Maybe you think God's mad at you. I want to clear something up. God is not mad at you. He's not mad at any of you. If there's one thing people need to hear over and over and over again is that God loves you. That's all there is to it. Now, He may not like everything you do, but He's not going to stop loving you. He's standing close to you. God is not the God you see in the cartoon waiting for you to mess up, waiting for you to sin, and He's got that lightning bolt in His hand, and He's like, oh, there's that Bill again. Go on, do it, Bill. Take the candy. And then He throws that lightning bolt at you. That's not the kind of God we serve. He's not waiting for you to mess up just so He can hurt you. God loves you, and He wants to help you. He, you know what's even better than Him loving you? Is He understands you. Sometimes my wife doesn't understand me. Sometimes nobody understands me. Even the people in the congregation don't understand me. But you know how frustrating it is when you're trying to pour your heart out to somebody and they just don't get it? Or you're trying to pour your heart out to them and then they say something that just fizzles you out. You know? Imagine having all these feelings on your heart and giving them to somebody who says, I understand. Grabs hold of your hand and gives you a hug. I'm telling you, I'd make that person my best friend. That's what Jesus wants to do for you today. I love what the hymnist said when they wrote this hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. Listen to this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all of our sorrows share? Jesus, listen to this. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what's holding you back? Really, think about it. This personal relationship you want with God, it's not as hard to find as you think it might be. There's no mysterious formula for getting it. If you want a relationship with God and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can have that today. It's easy. A relationship with God just starts by trusting Jesus and asking Him, Lord, I'm not perfect. I've made some mistakes. I need some help. This beautiful life You've blessed me with, I've messed it up. God, forgive me. I believe You. I know that You came down to save me from my sins. I know there's nothing that I can do that's good, but through You, God, through Your blood that You shed on the cross, all my sins can be forgiven. And God, that's what I want today. So all you got to do is ask. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And you know what's awesome? Sometimes you have to wait for good things to happen, right? But when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stuff happens right away. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. You begin to have God working on your heart, helping change the way you think and your thought process, and all these things come flooding into your mind. You want to become this different person. Then you start reading the Bible, and then you start trying to act out some of the things that you read. And sure, you know, you're going to hit some snags along the way. The devil's going to be like, oh, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing this stuff. Come back over here. You're going to have to be like, oh, get out of here, man. I'm following the Lord now. There's going to be some tough things, but it's amazing what God will do in your life if you will just trust Him. You get in your cars, And you trust that when you turn the key, that thing is going to start. You trust that when you hit the brakes at that stop sign, it's going to stop. But for some reason, you can't trust God. What has He ever done to you that you can't trust Him? He's never broke down on you. So I want to share one more thought and I close. This week I want to challenge you not just to sit in your pews all comfortably with your minds numb, letting me blab up here, but I want to challenge you. God wants you to hear these two questions. For the believer, the question is, ask yourself, search your soul, ask yourself the question, why do you want a relationship with Jesus Christ? For the person who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet, the question is, what's holding you back? What's stopping you? Believers and non-believers alike, I want you to know God loves you. More than anything, He wants this Christmas. It's not a great Christmas present. Not a gift, not decorating your house, not telling people God bless you. Those are all great things. But what He wants more than anything is for you to have a relationship with Him. Maybe you have a relationship today, but it's kind of fallen off. You used to be close to God, but now you're not as close anymore. You want to give somebody something good for Christmas? Give somebody something great for Christmas. Give yourself time with the Lord. That's what's going to get your heart ready for Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Maybe you're going through a hard time today. You say, Pastor, we got people in the family that are sick. We got financial troubles. I don't think anybody understands what we're going through. The Lord understands what you're going through. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, it says, we have a high priest, a perfect Savior who understands our weaknesses. He's been tempted just like we are, yet we never sinned. And I love what verse 16 says. And we can come fearlessly and confidently before God in prayer to receive His mercy and be forgiven. Friends, God wants to be involved in everything you do. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to talk to Him and walk with Him and spend time with Him just like He's your friend. And I believe the greatest thing you could do for God this year for Christmas would be to thank God for everything He's done in your life. Say, God, I just want to keep doing what's right. Keep helping me. Keep teaching me. Folks, if you're struggling today, I want you to know. I may not understand. Your spouse may not understand. Your friends may not understand. But Jesus understands. So often we go to a person. But the only person we really need is Jesus Christ. Don't let anything hold you back from accepting Him today. Don't let anything hold you back from getting back to that place where you used to be with the Lord today. I want to close with these words. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray, God, today, Lord, that you would speak to somebody, Lord. God, I know that we are all burdened. I know that we have heavy burdens on our heart. There's so many things going on, Lord, throughout this month, Lord, getting ready for Christmas and family occasions, church stuff, just all kinds of things going on. And sometimes there's so much stuff going on, we forget what Christmas is about. And it's about knowing you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us. God, if we're Christians here today, I want us to think about this, not just for this minute, not just today, but the whole week. I want us to think about, why is it that we really want a relationship with you, Lord? Speak to our hearts. If there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today is the day they would say, Lord, I'm tired of living this life for myself. I'm tired of making mistakes. I'm tired of screwing things up. Lord, I want to know when I die, I go to heaven. I don't want any more pain or suffering. I want to go to a place of joy. Maybe they're saying, I'm going through a hard time right now, Lord. You promise in Hebrews 13:5, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I want that. I need that. I have a spouse who just left me, a friend that just turned their back on me. I have a relative that won't talk to me. Lord, I want somebody that will never leave me nor forsake me. Maybe that's what you're going through today. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I pray that if you feel like God is calling you to come today, you'll come to the altars and just share your heart with the Lord.